We're prepared to reconvene our council meeting. Thank you, everyone. And we want to officially welcome to our council, again, Bill Milano and Joe Villanella. We are absolutely delighted to have you remaining as part of the Ponsinlet Town Council. And the next agenda item is the appointment of vice mayor. So I will ask the council, is there any discussion or nomination?
I would like to nominate Gary Smith as vice mayor.
We have a nomination for vice mayor Gary Smith. And are there any other nominations? Is there a motion for the Gary, is this something that you would be willing to accept?
I think I've learned the job, yes. I can continue.
Is there a motion for the appointment of our vice mayor?
That would be my nomination for Gary Smith.
That's your motion. Yes. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously, and congratulations, Vice Mayor Smith. And I would like to thank you for agreeing to serve as our town's vice mayor. I'm most appreciative of that. Thank you. And now we're going to look at the appointment of council representatives for interlocal organizations. And once we're through with the discussion, we can make one motion for the selection of all organizations. The first is the County Roundtable of Elected Officials. I would like to continue doing that. And Councilman White, I think, have you been the alternate on that?
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am? No. Who has been the alternate on that?
I would like to do that.
You would like to be the alternate. Okay. Would anyone else like to be the alternate on that?
If you'd rather do it, do it.
On the round table.
On the round table?
Yeah.
No, I think Skip.
Okay. So that would be very nice. The County Roundtable of Elected Officials. I will be the primary and the alternate, Skip White. In a moment by motion. Next we have, it's a new name, but it's the TPO. It's the Volusia Flagler Transportation Planning Organization. Who would someone like to be the primary?
What day of the week does that meeting now? Do you have
it's
any
on
idea?
A Wednesday.
It's on a Wednesday. There was a conflict.
Yeah.
Is there a conflict time-wise for you?
I have a conflict on Wednesdays, yes.
Okay. So would someone else here like to be?
I'm currently on there now.
Excuse me? You're currently, yes.
I'll continue on.
You'll continue that. Vice Mayor, I believe that you are the alternate?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you the alternate?
Yeah.
Okay. And First Step Shelter Board of Directors, can we count on you, Bill?
Of course.
Okay. So for the representatives of the county interlocal organizations, I will make the motion to appoint for the representative of the County Roundtable of Elected Officials, I, Lois Peritsky, will serve with Councilman White as the alternate. On the Volusia Flagler Transportation Planning Organization, the primary is Councilman White and the alternate is Vice Mayor Smith. And Councilman Milano will be our representative to the First Step Shelter. That is the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion unanimously passes. Thank you, each and every one of you, for volunteering your time. And I know that in the unlikely event the alternate is unable to attend, that we could certainly count on someone else, I think, except for the First Step Shelter, where they need to approve independently who's going to come. So we are now up to item 5, additions, corrections, or deletions to the agenda. Are there any to the November 21-24 agenda, Mike?
Yeah, I'd like to add one. That's a certificate of appreciation to Kathy Harvey for her work on the Check on Your Neighbors program during Hurricane Milton.
Thank you, Mike. Are there any other additions, corrections, or deletions? Okay, seeing none, I move to adopt the agenda as modified.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted as modified. Now, we are up to citizen participation. The town of Ponce Inlet encourages engagement by citizens through many means. This is the opportunity for our citizens to talk to us collectively on any subject that is not identified on the meeting agenda. This is your chance to speak to us. You come to the podium, place your name and address on the record. Please speak into the mic, and you have up to 5 minutes to speak. Now, a few things, please, to keep in mind. First, if we can answer a question you may pose to us during citizen participation now, we will. But we may need to defer an answer so that we can be accurate, and at a later time, you will receive the answer, and it may also be a topic on a noticed agenda. Secondly, I may ask that you please stop speaking if you are referencing an item that is on the agenda, and you will be able to make your comments at a later time when we address them on the agenda. Third, if you are asking the council to consider something, consider a policy change or an ordinance change, I can assure you that we will be writing it down, and whatever it is you are suggesting, the manager is writing it down. We will be speaking with the manager, who will look into it, and we may reach out to you after the meeting, and your idea may come back on a future agenda. Please do not forget, this is not your only opportunity to interact with us. You can call each of us individually on the telephone. You can email us. You can request a meeting. And we encourage you that if you would like, please contact our staff with any of your specific questions so that the staff will have an opportunity to answer you and at least have the opportunity to research it to provide you with an accurate answer. So, we have three individuals interested in speaking, and the first is Julie Davis. Julie?
Julie Davis, 87 Jennifer Circle. I'm here today to talk to you about Lighthouse Point Park cats. As some of you may know, back in 2009, the town of Ponce Inlet was the first town in Volusia County to enact the trap, neuter, return of all Volusia County. Now it's over half the county has done that. There's a colony at Jerry's, and there were like 10 cats down at the inlet, down at the jetty. And the thing with trap, neuter, return is as they're fixed, the volunteers fix them, as they age and die off, then the colony's no longer. There's three cats down there. There were three cats down there. On the morning, well, some of you may know Coco. She's a calico cat that's on walkway number 3. She is like our town greeter. She's always there. Well, the morning of November 8th, the feeder that went down there was just appalled. She walked down there, and there's Coco, who's 16 years old, has lived in the park for 15 years. They trapped her, and there was another cat they trapped, and they were getting ready to take her and the other one to Halifax Humane Society. Well, and for the past 2.5 years, I've gone every evening and fed Coco. She's very sweet. People come from all over to see her. People come from Daytona, from Port Orange. There's a couple that comes from Orlando twice a week to see Coco. And they love Lighthouse Point Park. But the feeder asked animal control, you know, why did you trap her? And he said that they did a study and said that the cats were eating the dune mice. Well, I've lived here off and on for 67 years. There are no dune mice in Ponce Inlet. That's an excuse. They wanted the cats out of there. We were given no notice to even be able to take the cats. And so the feeder did, she did her best, and animal control finally relinquished them to her. She called me at 7:30 in the morning and said, can you take Coco? Well, of course, I wasn't prepared, but I said, yes, bring her over here. I have three other cats. One is her kitten that's 15 years old that lives with me. Before we could get Coco fixed, when somebody dumped her off when she was a year old, so I have Pookie, who's 15. Now I have Coco. But needless to say, this was not... So I've called Animal Control, the director. She knew nothing about it. She did not direct her officer to do this, and she was going to get to the bottom of it. There is another director there, we think, that brought this on. I won't mention any names. But I did hear back from Angela, the head of the Animal Control, yesterday evening, and she said that, yes, she did not direct her officer to do this. She would never have. Those cats should have never been trapped, and that her officer did this on his own without her knowledge. And, you know, I hope he's reprimanded. He was pretty much instructed by somebody else to do it. And he was telling everybody, including some of my neighbors, they said, well, why did you take these? Because they were eating the dune mice, you know. So I requested from the county public records. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to see the study. And they got back to me, there is no study. The cats were not eating the dune mice. Coco's doing good. I mean, she's 16 years old. She's got cataracts. She can't hear, but she's adjusting. She's in a nursing home with me now. Craig's here. He has a dog named Sandy. And every afternoon, I'd be down there, and Craig and Sandy would come by, and Coco would go up and see Sandy. And it's just wrong how it was done. And to just take her to the pound like a piece of trash is horrible. And it's animal cruelty. And I just wanted people, if they know about Coco, we have to be her voice. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can I ask you a question? Are you going to keep Coco, or are you going to put her back in the wild?
No.
You're going to keep
her? I'm going to keep her, but she got a great bill of health the vet couldn't believe, but she was well taken care of down there. I mean, I was there every day. The days I wouldn't go is if it rained. I mean, I would pass up doing other things because I knew she was sitting there waiting for me. She would sit there and wait for, and it just broke my heart. I said, I've just got to go see her. So she's in good hands. And
Julie, we're very fortunate that you're able to take Coco, and I know how much the cat means to you, and you've been very kind.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Barbara Davis?
And Pat Morris.
And Pat Morris.
Pat Morris, 4758 South Peninsula Drive.
And Barbara Davis, 4871 Sailfish Drive. So Pat is the president of the Garden Club, and I'm here just because I like to talk.
So she's going to do all the talking.
We have a very special citizen in Ponce Inlet named Edwina Knox. She will be 97 years old in the spring. We have a very special tree in Ponce Inlet that Edwina dearly loves. And here it is. This is the live oak tree in Ponce Preserve. And that picture was taken 40 years ago. That is Edwina bringing her children to the live oak tree and taking pictures, and Edwina climbed the mound. Okay, when we were getting ready for Arbor Day, we recreated everything on that poster. Edwina at 96 with Jenny was climbing the mound. She has loved this tree since they moved here. They moved here in 1962. Bill Knox, who was a council member for 8 years, worked at GE. That's when they moved here. They discovered Ponce Inlet. They started building their home in 1971. They moved in 1972. Well, during all this time, they discovered Green Mound. Remember, Ponce Preserve didn't exist until about 1998. But Green Mound was, and we used to come and climb it. It was just an entrance, and you could climb up on the mound, and the state owned it by then because they got it in like 1958. But they would come down and look at the tree and hike around. So I've spoken with all her family members, and they said that was Edwina's thing. Well, there have been episodes where Edwina has had to protect that tree. If you see the pictures that I sent you, there were two incidents where we formed political committees. First, the Committee for Ponce Preserve, which is on the sign. Second, the Friends of Ponce Preserve. So the sale from the T-shirts, the first time was $1,400, and the second time about the same. All that went into the Garden Club Fund because Edwina founded the Garden Club. She was the president 2 times, and they were going to save that tree. So all that money went into a fund. The Arbor Day race, which went on for 10 years from 93 to 2003, all that money went into the Ponce Preserve Fund. So you see the bench, the picture of the bench, the hand-carved bench, and Edwina is there in her T-shirt. That was the first Ponce Preserve T-shirt from 1993. The next picture I sent you was Edwina at the tree when we hiked through Ponce Preserve. As the Garden Club president, we would take garden hikes through Ponce Preserve. That's what Edwina wanted to do. And you see the button she has on, that's her Friends of Ponce Preserve. She wears that to every single meeting. So what we're asking council to do is the urban forestry, 108-page, where Don Spence went in and measured every tree in Ponce Inlet. And then 4 of those trees have been designated. He's the one that helped us designate the 4th one. He just arbitrarily named the trees, just gave them names. So I've talked to Margie, I've talked to Don, and he said, no, we just gave them names just for fun. But, you know, we have named things in this town. Gladys and Earl have the museum. The Kayonaires have the park. There's different, well, Mrs. Hunter has her name now in the Pacetti Hotel and the Timucuan Oaks. We would like to name the tree, the big live oak, after Edwina. And so we've been talking about this, Mr. Disher, Jackie, Patty Rippey, Darren, about how would the easiest way to do this, and I think it was Mr. Disher, he and Patty, I think, said a proclamation. Okay, that's brilliant. A proclamation, it's a one-time person, it's a one-time tree, it's not an ordinance, it's not a resolution, it's not going to happen ever again. So we are asking for a proclamation to name the tree the Edwina tree. And there's a big Christmas luncheon coming up December 18th at the Garden Club.
At the Community Center.
Yes, at the Community Center. So we'd love to do the presentation then. And then after lunch, it's a potluck, have Chief, because she loves Chief, drive her to the tree and we'll take a picture with anybody, you know, all of y'all that can come. So proclamation and lunch.
Perfect.
Question. When you name those trees, are those names on a plaque somewhere? When somebody sees them, they know the name of the tree?
No, it was just something that Don did. He named a tree Zeus in Timucuan Oaks. He named the tree Athena, the big live oak. He named Atlas because the branches came on like this. He just did that as just kind of a thing to identify. He just did it.
Well, if we name them for a person for a reason, then there should be a plaque at the base of the tree telling it its name.
Yes. Well, you know, and that's up to y'all. Mainly, we've kind of been kicking this ball around, and we would love to get this done for December with the proclamation and a plaque. If we can get a plaque up there at some point, You know, Jackie's been working on getting even the historic designation signage, and people take things. And so, yeah, a plaque would be nice, but right now it would just be the lunch and a proclamation, maybe, you know, something that she can take home and well, have her family.
Barbara, if I may, is the proclamation, I think by consensus of the council, I think we're all very comfortable with it. We're proud to do it. And if it's, you know, it's something that we can have drafted, I hope, because you've provided so much information. Drafted, I'll have it signed. We can present it December 18th at the Garden Club, or whatever the parameters are for you. So we'll have that taken care of for you, and we're so appreciative that you think enough and far ahead for something of this nature.
And the Garden Club board voted on this, and this they are here supporting this because she is, I mean, she's Edwina.
Okay.
And she doesn't know, so please don't anybody
know. No, so we won't tell anybody. We're going to have it drafted, and do you want the council or members or somebody to come and read it? Is what would you like at the Garden Club? Yes?
Okay. As many of y'all as can come, because it is the Christmas party, and it's just a potluck.
No, we're honored to be asked to do it. We're delighted to do it, and just very, we feel very privileged. So as long as the staff can have that done.
Yep, we can do that, and then we can have it also for the December council meeting, too, the next day.
Perfect. We could read it.
Yeah, we'll get her here for the council meeting, too, with the family members, and they'll be at the luncheon. She has four children that'll come.
All right. Well, thank you. This is a very pleasant, happy thing. Thank you very, very much.
And I want to thank Barbara for everything
she did. Goodness, the work. The work and the effort that went into it. I know. Barb, thank you. And thank you, Pat. Okay, our last citizen participation request is from Steve Field.
Steve Field, 6 Marazul. I learned something this afternoon. Two things. One, I didn't know where Coco was because I see her every morning. And I just asked Shannon yesterday. I walk there every morning. I just asked Shannon yesterday because we've both been away. Where's Coco? So now I know. And the other thing I learned is we could never figure out how well fed she was. Because we see her every morning, she gets fed by what we call the cat lady in the morning, and there's another lady that feeds her on a pretty regular basis. I didn't realize you fed her in the afternoon, too, so now I know why. Well, as you know, I'm a concerned citizen as far as finances in this community are concerned, and I'd like to request that we place on the next month's agenda to talk about budget planning, budget review, and future budget planning. So that's what I'd like to request. Hopefully you can honor that request and we can have a well-rounded discussion on how we do it here to see if there isn't some improvements we could have. So better visibility and ways to see, make sure that we ensure that we spend the citizens of this town's money correctly.
Thank you, Mr. Field. What I will do is speak with our manager and see what could be placed on the agenda that may be appropriate. Mike, is there anything that you may wish to say at this time?
No, just that if there are specific topics, you know, you want us to look at or present, then let us know.
It's not specific. I like to discuss how we review budget versus actual on what period of time. Do we do it once a month, once a quarter? And then how do we know what to put in next year's budget?
Mr. Field, would it be helpful at all if you were to sit down with Mr. Disher and members of our finance department?
I did do that six weeks ago.
Okay. And as a result of that, then that's what this request is, essentially?
Yeah, that's correct. I just want to know, you know, do we sit down as a team as far as each individual department on a monthly or a quarterly basis and review the budget versus the actual? And what details and information is done as far as budget planning is concerned. And I really like to see who participates in those meetings and whether citizen participation is available.
Well, I think that one thing that you are asking, which I think we can really set forth in a very clear way, is the process of the Town of Ponson with all of our public meetings.
Yep.
And where it starts, who's participating, and the public participation. So I think that's a very reasonable request, and hopefully we'll be able to get that nicely on the agenda for you, and I appreciate you bringing it forward, Mr. Field.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before I close out citizen participation, is there anyone else who wishes to speak? I don't have anything from anyone. Okay, well then citizen participation is closed. We are up to item number 7A. We are very fortunate to have with us today a representative of the Small Business Administration who is here to speak with us about the SBA Disaster Loan Program. So we thank you very much. If our representative could come up and please introduce yourself, we look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Yolanda Dillard. I'm a PAS, Public Affairs Specialist with the U.S. Small Business Administration, and I'm here because of Hurricane Milton, and I would just like to go over a little bit of what we do at SBA. We provide home loans, business loans, and nonprofit organizations. You can actually apply for these loans at lending.sba.gov. Now, one good thing about having an SBA loan, if you are to apply with us, is 0% interest and no payment for the first year. Now, these are low-interest loans, and we can provide them online, or you can actually go to our center that we have here in Volusia County. And I also have some flyers I would like to leave. If anyone has any questions or any concerns, they can contact me.
Well, we are so appreciative that you made the time to come here. Does any member of council have a question for Ms. Dillard?
I thought the material was rather thorough, and it gets right to the point. It's terrific.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone in the audience who has a question for Ms. Dillard? Well, you have provided us with excellent information online, and we're very grateful that you made the effort to come here today. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we did print out the materials that were emailed to us. We have these on the table here if anyone wants to pick one up.
Okay, so the literature is here for anyone who wishes. So
yeah, now we did post this on our town website as well.
Yes, we did post on the town website. Thank you again. And now we have Mark Obeck, the president of the Ponce Inlet Veterans Association, who will speak with us about expansion plans for our Veterans Memorial. Mark?
Mark Obeck, 4758 South Peninsula Drive, and privileged to be the president of the Ponce Inlet Veterans Memorial Association. Previously, I showed you the engineering diagrams associated with the expansion, but you really can't gain a lot from engineering diagrams as to what it would really look like. So today I thought we'd talk a little bit about what it's going to look like, but first talk about why we're even doing this. So why expand the memorial? We had 800-plus pavers, and last month, Bill Wester, when he spoke, said when they first laid out this memorial, they were going, we'll never sell these. Well, they're all sold. They're all in place. So there's currently no way to recognize those who have served, and that's a requirement that we have. The pavers, limited life without sustained and substantial maintenance. They're bulky to handle. We have to order 10 pavers at a time. That's the way the firm that we deal with requires us to order them. And as a result, I mean, it's a real effort, a real effort. So we said, okay, let's pursue other options for veteran recognition. So what are some expansion options? We could expand the area around the memorial, you know, go through the hedges that are in the back and expand just an area where pavers could exist. One thought was create a pavilion to the north of the memorial and then have a pathway to that pavilion. And lastly, and this is frankly Joe DiCarlo's idea, let's create some walls where we might be able to put plaques. The last option really seemed to be the best for us. Relative ease of construction, smooth path transition from the existing memorial to this new area. The resilience of stainless steel plaques would provide a stunning appearance because it would be, again, black granite, stainless steel plaques. It would pop. It would really pop. And in addition, it would still create additional walking area where the additional pavers could be placed. So we really get two solutions for one. Wow. Want to present this visual. So one thing that also we're excited about this is that as we look into the future, and I'll probably be not around, but we'll be able to expand to the north side. If we need more room to acknowledge veterans, then we can do mirror that which we're doing on the south side to the north side. Now, that'll be obviously a few years down the road, but it allows us to look long-term at expanding this memorial, which, as you know, is regionally recognized, and I think this will only enhance that recognition. So as we're looking at timeline, the plans are complete, the application process is complete, the permit's been approved, we've done the builder survey, we're looking at the granite suppliers, the challenge that they have is that given the size of the walls
it would probably take 3 to 4 months for them to order something from India and have it shipped here. So that's going to be some time. That's the critical path for us. Paver and plaque selection, we're looking at, again, looking at more sustainable pavers. We're hoping that the construction of the footings and the block wall will start in December and then go through January, February with a real target, and this is aggressive, but it would be wonderful if we could do it, to have the dedication Memorial Day of next year. That's what we're hoping for. What I wanted to talk about, unfortunately, June Foreman and Marty Foreman, who own Art for the Soul Studio in Ponsonlet, she had a surgery yesterday and had a post-op today. Just couldn't be here, so you're stuck with me speaking on their behalf. They're creating a respite for veterans. Art for the Soul was originally established in 2020 to create a safe place for enthusiasts to explore, discover, connect, and heal through a process of creating art. You're going to see some examples over here, and they are absolutely freaking amazing what can be done with your hands and with a creative mind. They form a nonprofit, Art for the Soul, no restrictions on studio participants. The focus is the same, however, allows for broader outreach, providing tools and a safe place for artists to flourish and mentor others, and continuing to expand into other mediums like dance, music, culinary arts. They are really looking long-term at how to enhance what can be provided to the residents, not only in Ponce Inlet, but locally. They want to leverage the skills that seniors have and impart those skills on younger folks, even school-age kids. And they've created a program to eliminate cost barriers. Here's what's being made available. You purchase one of these vouchers for $35 and give it to someone that you believe could benefit from going to the art studio, and that covers their costs. So it's a wonderful program that they've initiated to eliminate some of the cost barriers that people have when they want to go to the studio and try something new. Now, veterans programs, and we've talked at length about these. It's important to let a veteran's imagination loose. Get them thinking outside of their normal life and be in a supportive environment. Provide an escape, truly an escape from the outside world. You know, veterans that are coming home out of service, some have tremendous pressures and in their lives. And this is a way that they can walk into the studio, close the door, and the outside world disappears. They want to remain flexible and adapt to identify need, because every veteran is different. Every veteran has different skills. Every veteran may be struggling with something different. So the focus on veterans is to work with their hands. It truly is extremely therapeutic. I did it. I created a cut glass piece. It really sucked. But nevertheless, it was creative, and you really immerse yourself. You go, wow, let me try this. And it's amazing what can be done. And they're looking at everything from glass fusion all the way to stained glass. And they're partnering with us to market these programs. We're in the process of building a website for the Ponce Inlet Veterans Memorial Association. We've already established a Facebook page. And so we're going to really advertise this and get it out there in the community for veterans to be able to come and participate in this wonderful therapeutic program. And as a result of that, we hope that through some of our fundraising activities, we'll be able to offset costs that veterans would normally have. Initial targeted programs, small class bonding workshops with fellow veterans. Veterans love to get together with other veterans. I can't imagine, because I haven't been at one yet, what will happen when veterans get together and they start trying to put glass together. But nevertheless, I'm sure it'll be healthy. One-on-one hands-on skill development. It's not easy to learn some of these skills. Trust me, I struggle just cutting pieces of glass. But it's therapeutic. It's therapeutic, and their mind is off of their day-to-day. And it could provide an income-producing means for these veterans. If they get good at these skills, at creating, they can be a crafter. They can go and sell their wonderful products that they've made. And develop an immersive program to feed the soul of these veterans, to create a true sense of wholeness. It's special. The veterans need it. And June and Marty are there to provide it. They have an open house coming up. It is this weekend. I encourage everyone to go to it and see all the fine work that they're doing there, because it is really phenomenal what can be made through imagination and some skill. Thank you.
Mark, thank you. This is an exceptional program, and the work that the Veterans Association is doing to expand as well. And I want to thank you for being here. I did have the opportunity to meet them before the meeting, the foremans and all. And well, I'd like to open it up. Does any of our council members have a question or a comment for Mark? Anyone in the audience? Yes.
Open house is this Saturday at what time is it?
Saturday at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. The Saturday at 6.
Could you repeat the question for the benefit of everyone, Mark?
I was asked whether or not those that have already purchased bricks, could they acquire something on the a plaque on the wall?
And what is the answer?
The answer is absolutely yes. There is no limits as to what you might want in order to recognize a member or members of your family or friends.
Okay, and I saw Kathy, was that it? Okay. Please repeat everything, Mark.
It is open to anyone to request a paver or a plaque. They don't have to be a Ponce Inlet resident. The only requirement is that the people that they acknowledge are indeed a veteran.
Okay. There's the requirement. Mark, this was a beautiful presentation and very moving, and I'm sure everyone feels as I do that we're very proud to have something of this nature in Ponce Inlet, the Art for the Soul, as well as our beautiful memorial. So, thank you.
Which, by the way, in closing, let me thank the town for their support, and especially Public Works, who was down there helping us. We can't do what we do in recognizing veterans without the town's help. It's an absolute requirement, so thanks so much.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. And now...
Mayor, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to know who created that rendering video. Yeah. That was amazing.
That was June Foreman.
Okay.
As it turned out, and just happenstance, I got a list of businesses from the town, because I was just interested, for other reasons, what businesses exist in the town. And I saw, you know, studio, and indicated in the comment section was architect. So I went over there, and I said, June, are you, I've met her before, are you truly an architect? And I said, you know, could you create, imagery of what we're planning? And she said, yeah, probably could. I said, I'll give you the engineering diagrams. Can you do something with that? So she created the stills, and you saw some of them at the Veterans Memorial Ceremony. And she had showed me those, and then as we're going through them, she said, and by the way, I think I got a little carried away because I created a video. And I said, oh, I will tell you, when I saw it, it brought chills.
Yes.
It brought chills to me. It was fantastic, and a picture may be worth a thousand words, but something like this is just, wow, give me a break here. This is phenomenal. So this is going to be part of our marketing effort to go and raise funds from donors. By the way, we estimate right now that the cost for the expansion will be in probably the $80,000 range. So we're looking at both selling the pavers and the plaques in advance of the construction, but also to get donors. And literally, I've already had people come up to me and say, I'll write a check, which is, again, that's what this town is about. They really have been supportive of what we're doing, and it's greatly appreciative. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And now I'd like to invite Barbara Davis here. We'll have the benefit of a presentation about our native landscaping restoration at Town Hall. Barbara?
Barbara Davis, 4871 Sailfish Drive. So last month, y'all declared October as Native Plant Month. And this month, I have a presentation on what's been happening out here in the dunes. Our first slide here is from 2009. When Town Hall was built in 2007-ish, we had a native plant landscape architect named Phil Graham from St. Petersburg who came in and landscaped both the police department and Town Hall. And we won the state award, the Native Plant Landscaping Award, in 2009. It has to be established for 2 years. Well, 15 years later, we had not really been taking care of this, and I'm going to show you what was going on. So there are three dune structures out here. This environment is called Coastal Strand. You have Dune A, Dune B, Dune C. And I'm going to just flip through them real quick and show you. These are the before pictures. So we're starting with A, going around A, and off to C. These are grapevines. And Don Spence is the man who did the preserve plan about native nuisance grapevines. It's a native vine, but when it becomes like this, it kills everything underneath it. So going in a circle around the dunes, you can see all this. Okay, now remember, we paid a small fortune to have this landscaped with native plants with an architect, a landscape architect from St. Petersburg. You can see the sea grapes coming out, the coral, everything is strangling in here. This is the path, the shell path. So when it was landscaped, there was a shell path you saw in the first picture. It's grass now and kind of like, it's fine the way it is. You don't have to maintain shell. You can mow right over the grass. I kind of like it more natural. There's the trail right there. And you see that all the grapevines just covering everything. Now we're on Dune B, going around the gazebo. See this? So basically, y'all met Danny Young last night, Young Beer Environmental. He's the man, environmentally, locally. He has the company that would come in and do this. We got an estimate for $14,000 to remove the grapevines and $3,000 to haul it away. And there's some more, okay? So what we did is Public Works, Jeff Jowers, he's gone now, but he would cut a hole into the grapevines, and we would find the root and chop the root, and it would die. And this was all under the supervision of Don Spence. He was kind of running the ball here, and Danny kind of knew what we were doing because he was helping with the preserve. So here's what we ended up with after we cut all the grapevines. Well, they weren't falling off. They were supposed to just, like, fall off, and then we could get in there and see things. So a little while later, Public Works came in. So that was in October that we came in and were cutting the roots and taking out the invasives over here. Public Works came in January, February with the heavy machinery. And to get all these grapevines off, they had to bring in bulldozers and claws, basically. So they got it all back to ground zero. Okay, now what are we going to do? Well, Jackie and I were at a native plant meeting, and a lady was speaking who is a native plant expert, PhD, and she buys native plants from all over the state of Florida. Now, I think our next one is, why native plants? And I gave you the flyer on why native plants. Native plants are what was originally here when the Europeans got here. It is what nature puts in this zone. USDA has zones. We're zone 10. There are certain plants who will thrive and survive in our zone. They provide food for all the wildlife. They are self-sustaining. They don't require pesticides. You can plant dune plants, and Don Spence wrote the book, I forgot it, but he wrote a book on dune plants, and it's kind of the Bible for everybody. So Mr. Disher and Jackie and Steve Dunlap and Patty Rippey started working with Katie Tripp, who is the native plant lady. She can go to all these nurseries in the state and bring in native plants. She came up with a plan. You see Dune A, Dune B, Dune C. That's the whole courtyard here. And she came in with, there's the Hawaii native plants. She came in with 500 plants. Okay, so between the time the guys ripped everything out and the time we're getting ready to plant in October, it had pretty much grown back. So this is the co-author of the Dune Plant. Her name is Sonia Goodry. She is a plant expert and the chapter representative of the Native Plant Society. We marked it with the surveyor spray and tape. And we took out, the preserve volunteers came up, and over a couple of weeks, we took out a dumpster full of just what had grown back since the guys had taken it off. Because if you don't maintain it, these grapevines are going to be back. So here's us. Look, here we go. There's the Sasquatch is right there on the left. So then Katie brought in the 500 plants. She placed them on the dunes, and you see that we had cleared back any non-native or invasive species so that it's just dunes, and it's sand. So this coastal strand is just a sand dune, and there are certain plants that will survive and thrive and provide food for birds, pollinators. We have a resident gopher tortoise. We have placed now all the plants that he eats around his burrow. So this is us planting this. So we're starting with Dune A, and I think, look, Chief was keeping an eye on us. I actually, when there were 500 plants sitting out there worth thousands of dollars, I asked Chief to put a police car out there. I mean, people stole the flowers out of Jeff Miller's memorial that Tammy wanted to put out. And they're stealing the signs at the preserve. So we were worried about the plants. So, see, Katie put the plants out, so they were all over out here, 500 of them. And the volunteers came in, and there's Jane. And there's Michael and Ed. Michael and Ed are always together. There's some of the other volunteers. So we're just going around Dune A and off to Dune B. And we just did this for hours and hours. There's Stanley. He brought his auger. He got an auger and came out and dug holes for us. There's the president of the Native Plant Society. And Joan, the docent at the Pacetti Hotel. Here's a group photo. A lot of the native plant members came down. And you see there was just different groups on each of the dunes digging holes. Skip and Chris dug a lot of those holes. But you see how all the plants are laid out? And then we just went in, dug holes, stuck them in the ground. Actually, Juan and I did another 60 today because we needed to fill in some spaces. There's Stanley with his auger. We had a good time. So there's all the pots, and then we recycled them and took them back to Katie. Now here's the after pictures. So here's some of the plants after, and this is pine straw. Pine straw nourishes the soil, particularly sandy soils like this. It retains water. You don't chip up a tree or anything. It falls on the ground, so it's absolutely natural. And so this is just going around. You see all the different colors here. And each one of these areas is designed to bloom at different times during the year and provide food for the wildlife. So here's the tropical sage. So there's everything planted in the dunes. And then here's our resident gopher tortoise. And we marked it off because if the gopher, we call them Where's Waldo, because if the gopher tortoise is in the area, it's federally endangered, you pretty much just move. So we marked him off for this. We took it off so people don't bother him. But there's two of them. And this one has a full menu outside his burrow. We put in all the plants for the gopher tortoise. So there it is. There's all the different areas planted. And if you go out now, you will see a lot of them in bloom. Now, with native plants, what happens? They create food at different times of years. They will flower. They will have fruit. Then they will go to seed and seed themselves. So when the different things will die during the year, next year there'll be four times as many of these. We created some gardens outside the clerk's office. And so now here's what's happening. The butterflies are coming in. And so this was yesterday. Patty took this picture. And then Stephanie, that's a Gulf fritillary. The other was a monarch. So these are all the different plants. So all the butterflies are coming in. We have birds everywhere, dragonflies. There's another monarch. So there's three different plants with monarchs, and that's what's going to happen. This is now a food source for all these pollinators. And here's the team who had the most fun. Right there. So thank you very much. Thank you for trusting Katie. I think this is an amazing project, and in 2 years we will nominate it for the state award again.
Barbara, I know I'm on behalf of the council. Thank you. And what you and your volunteers, Skip, Jane, thank you, those who are here. What is ingrained in all of us is the visioning statement to protect and preserve, and that's what you're doing. We are a monarch city and a tree city. Thank you for all the effort that you put in. And this, combined with the work you did for Edwina and Mark with the veterans, it makes our town so special. So I thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Barbara? Anyone in the audience? Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. Well, now it's my pleasure to read to you a certificate of appreciation from the town of Ponsinlet to Kathy Harvey, and I'm going to read it from here and then come down and ask Ms. Harvey to perhaps say a few words at the podium, only if she wishes, and then we would like to take a photo with the council. The certificate of appreciation from the town of Ponsinlet is presented to Kathy Harvey in recognition of your contribution to the Check on Your Neighbor program during Hurricane Milton and your dedication as a supportive and caring resident enriching the community through your actions, dated this 21st day of November, 2024, Lois Peritsky, Mayor. Kathy?
First of all, this is a big shock, and what can I say? I've been here 6 years, and today's my last town council meeting, And moving back to Ohio, I want to say that it's been such an honor, a privilege to live here amongst all of you. I look around and I see faces, and I definitely see places, and they became friends.